Colorado has this reputation of being a very healthy state. And in a lot of ways, it is. You know, Colorado has made tremendous strides. We have a very low uninsurance rate. It's estimated that less than 7% of the population is uninsured at the moment, which is largely due to the Medicaid expansion. And we have the lowest obesity rate in the country. But if you dig a little deeper, you find that there are actually enormous health disparities that are largely preventable, and they are related to race, place, and income.
Well, let's dig into some of that. And as you said, Colorado consistently tops national scores on health, being healthy, low levels of obesity. But it really depends where you live, the color of your skin, and how much money your household gets every year. And so there are many various health indicators on this, life expectancy. You know, there's now mental health issues and disparities on that, because it's very stressful being poor. But talk about some of the major findings that you found that you talk about in Vital Signs.
Yeah, so this is what we tried to do, was to look at how these sort of, you know, essentially what you were saying is, you know, the lottery of life, you know, the family you're born into, your race and your ethnicity, the place that you live, and the income that your family earns are primary drivers of your health. And in particular, we found that income and race, and sort of the complicated interactions of those two, are really one of some of the primary determinants of health. And that's not necessarily something that's new. We know that. But we really wanted to shine a light on how that plays out in Colorado, because that's not often the story that you hear. So, for instance, a couple of findings that we thought were notable is that wealthier Coloradans, so these are people who are in the top 25% of the income spectrum, live 6 to 10 years longer than lower income Coloradans, those who are in the bottom 25% of the income spectrum. And across the board, wealthier people just live longer than people at the lower end of the income spectrum, regardless of where you live. But for low-income people in particular, where you live actually makes a big difference. So for instance, the longevity gap, so this gap between high earners and low earners, varies pretty substantially depending on where you live. So for example, wealthier people and Pueblo live 10 years longer than lower income people. And that longevity gap narrows to about 5 years in Eagle County. So that's a pretty big disparity.
And why is that? Why does it make such a difference where you live, and how does that impact your life expectancy?
Yeah, and we think, so this is data that comes from Raj Chetty. He's an economist from Harvard. And so this, the data that I just quoted is Colorado data, but he looked across the country. And, you know, and this finding of place mattering most for low-income people is consistent across the country. And we think that it probably has something to do with that the context, you know, the context in which people live is particularly important for low-income people, and that can vary pretty substantially depending on where you live. Whereas if you have a comfortable income, you know, you're able to meet all your basic needs and then some, regardless of where you live. But in low-income people in particular, because they're struggling to meet basic needs, the sort of the environment of the community really makes a difference. So things like whether there are affordable mass transit options, whether there's affordable housing in safe neighborhoods, whether there are good parks for their kids to be able to play, and schools that are well financed. So things like that, and access to healthy food options.
It really shows that it's so much more complicated than just access to actual healthcare, because you did say the Medicaid expansion has really opened up healthcare access to so many more Coloradans, particularly those who are living below the poverty line. But there are so many other factors now we're hearing that really impact your health, and particularly your life expectancy.
That's exactly right. And it's estimated that over half of your of what drives or determines how healthy you are is actually driven by things like, you know, things in your environment, where you live, where you work, where you go to school, as opposed to your access to healthcare. That's not to say that that's not important. It certainly is. But, you know, even I think it's important to keep in mind as we're moving towards an environment where, you know, where we're very lucky, where there people have more access to healthcare, that we can't stop there. That's not enough to close some of these disparities in health outcomes by income and race. And our bottom line perspective here is that one of the main strategies for closing these income or these health gaps is really about strategies that support income for families.
Do all of these things cost money? I mean, are there other programs, or is it just a matter of making people aware of current programs that exist, like eligibility for food stamps or eligibility for earned income tax credit? Or, you know, does there really need to be substantial financial investment on the part of the state to overcome some of these disparities?
Increasing access to food assistance in particular, most of that money comes from the federal government. We are leaving money on the table by not bringing more people into the program. And then there are other things that are sort of, I think about as addressing kind of more systemic issues that have to do with community and economic development that could make a big difference too. So one thing that Colorado just did is a really important step for low-income families is we increased the minimum wage to $12 an hour by 2020 in this past election cycle, and that will increase income for 480,000 Coloradans across the state. And then other things like educational attainment, which varies really substantially by race and ethnicity. And, you know, we know that the more that you increase your education, that doesn't even necessarily mean college, just beyond high school, the less likely you're going to be living in poverty. And then affordable housing is a huge issue that has health benefits. And in the report, we talk about, there's some data in there that 40 of Colorado's 64 counties have over 40% of their population experiencing rent burden, which puts them at a greater risk for homelessness.
In terms of the actual health issues that people who are living in poverty are experiencing, because we've talked about life expectancy, but on a more immediate level, particularly for children and younger people, what are some of the health issues we're seeing in those populations that we're not seeing in more affluent populations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we report on some data in the report from the Colorado Health Access Survey that finds consistently across the board, year after year, that people at the lower end of the income spectrum report poor mental health and poor physical health. And like you said, it is stressful living in poverty. And so that, you know, over time, that plays out in all kinds of ways. The people who live in poverty are more likely to suffer from some of the most common diseases like hypertension, for instance, and diabetes. And, you know, over time, these issues impact, you know, their overall health, their family's health, and their ability really to participate in the economy and their communities.